Hi, welcome to the Left Brain Artist. On this podcast, I will interview an artist and we will talk about their artwork, their techniques, and their business. I've chosen artists you may not be familiar with, but it's my hope that after this, you will look up their website and check out their art. We'll delve into the left side of our brains to find out how these artistic people find venues for their art, how do they find buyers for their art, and how do they get teaching opportunities? And also, how do they keep track of their inventory, their finances, and all the events that they show? Today, I have quite a treat for you. I'm speaking with Jennifer Love Gironda, an artist who received a master's degree in art education, and she works as a high school art teacher. After focusing on teaching for a bit, she realized she wasn't making a lot of her own art. So she actively worked to develop her own artistic style by establishing a habit of creating an artwork a day. I know a lot of artists have participated in 30-day challenges or even 100-day challenges to practice their art, but Jenny's gone way beyond that. She is in her seventh year of creating one artwork a day. Let me just say that again. 7 years. And that's on top of the extra art she makes for shows, for sale, for her class, and for other projects she gives herself. This girl is an artist. Give this a listen, and I think you'll definitely be inspired by Jenny and her practice of making art. Today I'm with Jennifer Love Gironda. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yay, thank you for inviting me.
Let's find out about her background and where did you start in the world of art and how old were you?
I started when I could pick up or hold a crayon, I guess, just coloring. I loved coloring when I was a little kid. And I remember I always had, you remember those shed spread butter, the big butter tubs?
Yes.
Yeah, so I remember that's what I kept all my crayons in. And they were all like broken. Yeah, so I would just drag that around with me and I liked drawing on just white paper, but I also liked my coloring books, but I was real funny. I had to go in order, and complete them from start to finish, like my own book.
So oh, I love that.
Yeah, really kind of a weird kid, I guess.
Did you keep them as well? Did you have a bookshelf full of them?
Yeah, I kept all my coloring books and, you know, papers and everything. And, I took, art in elementary school and middle school and high school, obviously. And I had a really good high school art teacher that I just loved, that kind of just made me want to keep doing it.
And where was that you grew up?
Union Pines High School is in Cameron, North Carolina. My art teacher was Miss Calcutt, Miss Robin Calcutt.
Yay, shout out to Miss Calcutt. And in high school, what type of art did you do? Was it a lot of different things?
I primarily was drawing and painting. And then, my senior year, I remember, she had us do a batik. And, you know, I messed mine up. Mine was a mess. Like, it did not come out good. So I was like, oh, how am I going to fix this? So I ended up, and I wish I had this piece because I put so much time into it, but I ended up, hand beading. That was my first bead piece. I hand beaded, two zebras on it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Stretched it out. I was kind of like, oh, there's other stuff besides, you know, just drawing, you know. So when I went to college, I kind of knew that in the back of my head. I took my drawing and painting classes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite professor by far was Ray Elmore. He's since passed, but he was a real mentor to me. And my art ed professors, of course. And when it came time to pick my area of, like, concentration, mm-hmm, for my major, you know, because I was art ed, but at East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina.
All right.
But, you know, it's a BFA program, so you do your art ed curriculum, but then you also are a studio artist as well with, you know, those hours and requirements. So I took a textiles class with Christine Zoller. And it just reminded me, like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this other world.
Yeah, and zebra.
Yeah. So it kind of came full circle. And I started, I did all my drawing and painting and metals and ceramics and everything. And then I just got really into the textile design. and did weaving and silk screening and dye work and a little bit of everything.
Oh, wow. Did you happen to bring back any of your beading when you worked with the textiles again?
Yeah. Last summer, I think, I don't know, you probably knew I got the residency at the Hermitage.
I saw that. Yeah, we can talk about that later. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. That was amazing. But my best friend's mom and I kind of do this thing where, you know, I dyed some fabric at another workshop in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I did spray dyeing, and I saved all that. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm not good with a sewing machine. I'm not good with a sewing machine.
Oh, okay.
Pattern work, you know, I would rather just hand stitch and, mm-hmm. you know, just how my brain works. So she took my fabric, pieced it together, and last summer I was actually hand beading and embellishing a quilt top from that fabric.
That's nice. That's nice. Yeah. How large is it?
We don't know how large it's going to be yet.
Oh.
I just got, two or three panels last year. I think I did three panels. They're long. And then I just got a package from her last week. I haven't opened it yet because I know once I open it, then the clock starts and I got to start beading.
So it's a collaboration with her. And how long do you have it before you have to send it back to her? Is it every month?
As long as I want. You know, like basically that's what I did all last summer.
Yes.
And then she just mailed me my new set for this summer. So I guess it's my summer project.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So
let's go back to, so you got your BFA. And
yes.
Did you go straight into working as a professional artist after that? Or at what point did you get into teaching?
I went straight into the classroom.
Okay.
So I graduated in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to D.H. Conley High School, and I was the only art teacher there. That's right in Greenville. My male husband was still in school, so, you know, I wanted to stay there in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great time, you know, there. And then we moved to Raleigh for a little bit, so I taught at Lethal Road High School there for a little bit.
Okay.
And then John's mom passed, so we moved back home for a year, and I didn't teach that year.
Okay.
And then I didn't teach another year.
Ah.
And, you know, I was doing other stuff. We moved to California.
I didn't know about that little.
Yeah, oh, girl, that's a whole other story. We we basically put all of our stuff in storage. My mom kept our cats, and we drove cross country and just lived in San Diego for a year. That's a whole other story.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. But so there was a 2-year period where I wasn't teaching.
Okay.
And, you know, I worked a corporate job. I did all this other stuff. And I just kind of felt like, you know, I knew that, and I was doing creative things when I could, but, you know, when you're working in a corporate office in a cubicle, you know, like I would decorate my stuff, all my things would be organized, and I would think creative, but I knew that I was, you know, not, like, I knew I was not meant to be there. I was supposed to be in the classroom.
Right.
So
right.
I made it back to the classroom. I actually taught kindergarten through second grade art.
Once you left California?
Yeah. We moved back. We've been all over. So we moved back to Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
My husband went for his master's degree, MBA in business, you know.
Okay.
And I'd go for my master's in art. So we moved back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was real important when I went for my MAED degree from East Carolina,
mm-hmm.
that I did a lot of the portions online, but the reason we moved back is so that we could do that face-to-face, you know, time, and I wanted specifically to take my textiles classes again.
Oh, great. Okay. And so was that degree a major in textiles, or did you have a concentration?
I did. My master's is a master's in art education.
Oh, okay.
But then I also, you know, I had to get my textiles in there as my studio area.
I gotcha.
And I took classes with Christine Zoller again. And, you know, at the time, I would make a little jewelry or do a drawing or painting here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I really wasn't producing a lot. So when I did my master's degree, I really did, you know, I started falling in love with doing the dye work again, and I got into the beading again.
Okay.
And did a lot of like heavily beaded pieces. Cause when I bead, it gets a little crazy, and it's just stacks of beads on top of each other. Cause I really love the texture. So,
you're really doing a 3D type of project. Yeah.
It's really funny because a lot of people that know me know that about me, that I do the beadwork and everything. But on my daily art that I do, you know, it's mostly drawing and painting. Sometimes I'll do some collage. Just, and part of the reason is because the beadwork is so labor intensive. And, you know, if I work on a beaded piece, it might take, you know, weeks or months.
Yeah. 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 Well, your beaded pieces are so sculptural. You know, you're not just stringing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're all, and the thing I love to do is I love turning it over and looking on the back of the fabric and just seeing where I did every stitch by stitch, you know, like where each little thread is.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little labor intensive, but that's my relaxing time. When I do beadwork, that's me chilling.
No, I agree. I did, I got into beading years ago. Well, I mean, when I grew up, my mother and I did so many different crafts and things, and we did a lot of beading when I was young. But I got into it years ago and it wasn't purposely because of what happened, but I was seeking something to do, but my brother passed away, and I was seeking something to do to just kind of clear my mind. And it was so relaxing to me. And the part that was relaxing was choosing the colors and choosing the patterns and moving things around, this order, that order, this pattern. And it was so comforting to me to just sit there. And I guess because it was physical, because you're moving your hands, but also I made it mental because I was really working hard on how I was going to do the color pattern.
Yeah. And actually my best friend's mom, you know, that I'd mentioned with the quilting, my best friend actually passed when I was in high school.
So,
you know, I'm still like very close with her parents.
That's wonderful.
It's many, many years later. I don't want to say how many, because, you know, I'm sure people think I'm so young. No. But, you know, that's something that we do together. And that's one thing that I do like about not just art, but, you know, specifically about the textiles is, you know, I can go and sit with, you know, 80, 90-year-old women, and we can quilt together or bead or stitch. And, you know, everybody has a fabric memory, you know. And,
Yeah,
like, you know, you remember a sweater, a blanket, or, you know, it's just something that is common for everybody and brings people together. But
yeah, I like that. A friend posted a picture on Facebook the other day of herself when she was in elementary school. It was the school picture. And you could just see a little bit of the shoulders of her dress. And the dress had a lacy collar right up to her neck. And so I commented, and I said, did your mother make that dress? And she said, yes,
she did.
And I said, yes, because my mom did the same type of thing.
Everybody probably had the same pattern.
Yes. Yeah. You had that simplicity or McCall's pattern.
Yeah. And when I was growing up, another tie for me through the textile work, my mom used to paint some pre-made pottery. I remember when I was little, but she was working in, you know, like second, third shift in a factory. So she didn't have a lot of time for creative things.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma was really probably the creative one in her family. She did crocheting, knitting, like she could sew from a pattern. She could do a quilt. She could do anything.
Oh, that's great.
You know, yeah. So I remember seeing her do all that stuff when I was little, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have any of her pieces?
I do. She used to do, and I don't know if you're, maybe it's a southern thing, I don't know, but there used to be these like hexagonal, wooden frames that people would make, and they'd have nails on the edges. And
with the string.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's, it's not crocheting, but I remember, actually at my grandma's funeral, the preacher, he luckily was somebody that knew my grandma and he knew her family for years. He actually had one of those and held it up at her. And was like, you know, this was the kind of woman that she was. And, you know, everybody was, but wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, like I've got like little things like that. And I've got some of my grandma's jewelry pieces. That's a whole nother story. I really love jewelry too.
Yes. Well, I do too. So you're preaching to the choir on that one.
but it's funny because, you know, I do all my daily art. I love doing drawing and painting and everything. But, you know, all my downtime and kind of like, when I'm just doing stuff just for fun, a lot of times it does go more towards the textiles and, you know, jewelry and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. When did you move to Florida and why? How did you get down here?
Okay. So, I was, you know, we just finished our degrees, you know, John finished MBA. I finished my MAD. I think we graduated the same year. I did national boards that year. I was crazy. I don't know why I did that. John had applied for some schools for a PhD program. And he applied up in Virginia, and he applied down here. And we ended up deciding to come down to South Florida because he has family here, you know? You know, like, again, we've been coming down here for years to vacation. His Aunt Nancy lives down here. Okay. His cousins, Krista and Dory, and their families, Uncle Tom and Aunt Lil and Benny and Nettie and, you know, all the cousins, everybody's down here. Mm-hmm. So we've been coming for years.
Yeah.
So we're like kind of a no-brainer. We should go where there's family, mm-hmm. you know? So in 2009, and this was crazy, okay? So 2009, we moved down here. But before we moved down here, I was in Japan with a Fulbright Hayes group for over a month. So it was, I mean, you want to talk about crazy? You know, moving to another state, and we just used those pods, you know, where you pack all your stuff in and they bring them down.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Got rid of stuff. But yeah, we, I basically got back from Japan, was back for a little bit. I did, some of my job interviews, on Skype.
Did you?
Pajamas, you know, at like 2 a.m.
Oh my gosh, time difference.
Yeah, trying to find a job, you know, in Florida.
Yeah.
And, luckily I was able to find a job, you know, thank goodness, but I got a job in Martin County teaching at Indiantown Middle School.
Okay.
And, I taught there for 4 years while John was working on his program.
Okay.
And, yeah, so now he's got his PhD. He's a professor down at Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to move. We moved down south for a little bit. And we're like, oh, no, we like, you know, Palm Beach area. So we came back, and now I'm at Lake Worth.
That's great. You're at Lake Worth High School. How many years have you been there?
Hold on, I got to say, with Brent Bloodworth.
My colleague. Shout out to Brent.
Yay, Brent. This is my 4th year at Lake Worth.
Okay. Yeah. The story about how I know Brent Bloodworth's mother.
Everybody knows his mom, but how do you know her?
Well, she taught at so Brent Bloodworth is your cohort art teacher at Lake Worth High School. And Judy Bloodworth was the art teacher at H.L. Johnson Elementary in Royal Palm Beach. And both my kids went there. And my son, who is 8 years older than my daughter, when he was there, I volunteered with Judy. Actually, I did when my daughter did too, but she retired about halfway through my daughter's time at the elementary. But so my son was at the elementary school for 6 years, and Judy Bloodworth was so smart. First week of school, she sends a flyer to every single student. Hey, I'm the art teacher. Anyone want to volunteer in my class? And I just wanted to get in the school and volunteer in any capacity whatsoever. Because that was the start of when they wouldn't let parents step foot into the classroom when you dropped your kid off. And,
oh, yeah. They're like, okay, go away.
My son was in kindergarten, and I just the kids come home and you say, what did you do today? I don't know. So I just wanted to get in the school. So anyway, I volunteered with Judy Bloodworth once a week for about 6 years.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, I love
her. Really did get in there. She's so sweet.
So, I don't know her son Brent as well, but I'm sure he's just fabulous because she's
fun to work with. Like when I first started at Lake Worth, the very first thing he did, you know, during the teacher work days is, you know, when we went for lunch, he went around and introduced me to everybody, showed me where like all the spots were, like the galleries, and that's the cultural council and this and that. Mm-hmm. So I really I actually, when we were going around making those rounds, one of the people he introduced me to was Joyce Brown over at Clay Glass Metal Stone Gallery.
Oh,
and that's
great.
Been like a lasting friendship. You know, she's, because of that meeting, we've had 4 shows there. You know, PB Cotta just had a show there last night.
Yeah.
And Brent that. But, Joyce has given supplies to my classroom. I've met other artists through her. It's just funny, like, you know, everything's all connected.
it really is.
You know?
But I think that's fabulous that your fellow high school art teacher thought it was important enough to connect you with the art scene in Palm Beach County. That's fantastic.
And not only the art scene, he made it a point to really connect to Lake Worth specifically, you know, because you know, our kids are the community of Lake Worth, but he really made it a point to be like, this is Lake Worth, and he's, you know, just so proud. And so, you know, I live in Boynton, but like, you know, I feel like I'm part of Lake Worth too, right. You know, from teaching there with my kids, and, you know, Brent definitely made me feel welcome.
That's great. That's great. And had he been at Lake Worth High for a few years before you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's, I can't remember how many years he's been there. He's been teaching over 20 years, I believe, but I think, over 10 have been at Lake Worth. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Are you the only two art teachers, or is there another one?
It's just us.
Just us?
Yeah, just us. Yeah.
And how do you split the classes? What are you teaching and what is he teaching?
They switched it the first 3 years. Brent was teaching, well, he always teaches photography.
Okay.
But he was teaching, 2D classes and the advanced, like, portfolio and AP classes.
Okay.
And then last summer, or the end of last year, he's like, hey, Jen, he's like, you want to try teaching AP? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. So I did. But I teach the 3D classes because I'm downstairs in the room that's, you know, got the kiln in it and everything.
Okay.
So I teach 3D. This year I just taught 3D portfolio and AP 2D art,
okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes I'll teach a drawing or painting class, you know, like the 2D. But
okay.
I do like the 3D because, you know, we'll do paper sculpture. I work in, I'm really passionate about fashion. And so I have
yes.
a fashion club and we do recycled fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been able to include that into the 3D, you know, 3D curriculum.
Are you able to create your own curriculum, or how large are the guidelines?
I mean, you have your state and national, you know, guidelines. And so anytime I'm designing a lesson, I always make sure, like, okay, it's got to hit some of this stuff. You know, like, I got to have a reason for teaching this to these kids. But also in the back of my mind, I'm trying to think about, like, okay, we need some common sense stuff in here. You know,
yeah.
kids need to use a ruler. You know, they need to be able to use a measuring tape or, you know, sew on a button.
Yeah.
Know how to use a hot glue gun and not burn themselves. So I'm always, you know, thinking of all those big standards, but then I'm also thinking about, you know, like just normal stuff that, you know, common sense that the kids need to know.
Life skills.
Yeah, life skills. And, you know, whenever possible, always teaching kindness and manners and stuff like that too.
That's great. Can we back up a little bit? Can you tell me what you did in Japan? Was that art related?
Oh, yeah. Man, that was fun. Okay. So, in 2008, 2009 year, I participated in this group and I went maybe once a month, but for a full day. And I went with my sister-in-law, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
So something we did together, but we went and it was an Asian studies. So we would learn all about different cultures in Asia. And
that's fun.
Yeah, and that's fun. The culminating event was that because we were part of a Fulbright Hayes study travel abroad program, we went to Japan. And
That's great.
Yeah, it was paid for. Like, everything was paid, our lodging, our food, everything. You know, we had to bring our spending money.
And you went with your sister-in-law, so you were going with a friend.
She's like one of my best friends, you know, so it's really good. But yeah, we went to Japan for a month and the purpose
wow.
was at the school system in Japan. And, you know, so we went and visited Japanese schools, but also we're going to all the different cultural places and historic places. Our, professor, Dr. Tucker at East Carolina, that man has more stamina than any person I've ever met in my life. Like, he could go toe to toe with a 20-year-old Olympic athlete. Like, we would be just all like, oh, Dr. Tucker, we need a break. And like, come on, we're going to go to another, you know, temple. We're like, ah. But yeah, we saw a lot of Japan. We stayed, in Kyoto, was kind of like our home base. And
mm-hmm.
we traveled out Osaka, Hiroshima, you know, we went to Tokyo a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was amazing. It was like one of those once in a lifetime kind of experiences.
Absolutely. What a great trip. You know, I love it when people are brave enough to go for it because that is kind of a scary trip, you know, when you don't know the language and.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I live down here now and, you know, here it's pretty metropolitan and urban and everything,
mm-hmm.
but this is not where I'm from. You know, I'm from North Carolina and I'm not from like Raleigh or Charlotte. I'm from Cameron, you know, and my mom lives in Stanford now and those are small places.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, to make that leap to go, you know, on that big plane ride and, you know, to to be away from my now husband, you know, and all that stuff. It was a big deal for me, you know, at the time. It still would be, even if I went now, you know.
It would be for me, too. And it's halfway around the world.
Yeah. It was amazing.
You talked about the Hermitage Art Retreat. Is that your first retreat? Are there others you can tell us about?
Is that my first retreat?
Called a retreat or is it called an artist in residency?
That was an artist retreat. I've done other like professional development type things. Like I went to Kansas City where I dyed, Shibori dyed that fabric. That was a week. That was at the Kansas City Art Institute. And, that was like a week, you know, of classes. You know, I've done like professional development type stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the Hermitage was special because, you know, first of all, it was special to just get chosen to be a part of it. All the teachers can apply in Florida, and they pick, you know, that year they picked, three visual artists and two writers. It varies. Sometimes they'll pick magicians. Oh, that would be interesting.
I was thinking that sounded kind of cool.
That would be a different group. My year, they picked, you know, three artists and then, three artists and two writers. We went and,
where's it located?
If you wouldn't ask me that, I'd be able to tell you. but over on the west coast of Florida, in this little town, and it's, a little beach house, you know, like historic beach building, and it's got a couple other buildings and stuff on the land. You're right there, you know, on the beach.
So
every day we would wake up, you know, go jump in the ocean, which I'm not a swimmer, so that was an adventure. but when I say jump in the ocean, I mean like, go up to like,
you walked maybe like into
a,
it.
Yeah, like walked into it and then I ran back if I saw something I thought was moving.
Yeah.
We were there for the month of July, you know, and it's just big. And I was there, the art, and it's funny, and this is why I say everything's connected. One of the artists that was there is a girl named Katie. And Katie, I actually met the summer before in Kansas City.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Isn't that funny? Really hit it off in Kansas City, like we bonded, and neither one of us had any idea that the other one was applying. And when the list of winners and, you know, recipients came out, we both like saw each other's name and texted each other like, "You're going, I'm going," you know. And we
ended up
staying at, isn't that great? Ended up staying in the same house together. So
nice.
Yeah. So we just it was just such an art house. Like I had a studio space and it faced the ocean. And that's where, at the time, I was doing a series I called Paper Cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was detailed cutouts, kind of like Art Nouveau, Alphonse Mucha-style hair with all the curvilinear lines and stuff. And then I ended up inserting backgrounds underneath that. Sometimes I would get drawn faces, watercolor for the hair. So that's what I would do for my daily art, and I would do that in my studio space. And then in the house is where we did our textile art. So she was working on this gigantic, oh gosh, she was crocheting a big blanket. Like it was like a king size blanket.
Oh wow. In 1 month?
Yeah. She's been working on it, but she made a quilt from scratch while we were there. And some of the fabric she used was dyed on location. Some of it was stuff she had done at workshops and in Kansas City. So she did a beautiful beach quilt. And we just did fun stuff like, you know, we did photo shoots. She dyed some outfits for her, and we like did photo shoots of that. And it actually fell on my wedding anniversary. So my 12th wedding anniversary, so I actually brought my wedding dress with me, and I hand painted my wedding dress. And got
I remember the photos.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, again, I'm not a swimmer, and I'm scared of creatures in the ocean. So I'm in the water in those pictures.
You were in the water in this painted
in my
wedding dress.
And when I painted the wedding dress, I tried to, I used, PBO paint. They were like made for fabric so that they would, maintain that, you know, the hand, like not be too rough, you know?
Yeah, the flexibility of the fabric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I used those, but I also used just some regular gouache and watercolor. So that when I got in the water, it would kind of dissipate and wick a little bit.
Yes.
Which it didn't do it as much as I wanted. And I think it's because of the the type of material the dress was, you know. But it did a little bit, it kind of like blurred the edges a little bit on the design. But so yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was performance art too.
Yeah.
And did you get a video? Did they video you when you were?
We didn't do a video. We did still photographs.
Okay.
But we just made it a little photo shoot. Our friend Brian, he, you know, helped with everything and helped take pictures. And Katie did my hair and, you know, makeup and stuff. And I did my makeup, she did my hair. And, it was just fun.
That's great. And do you still have your wedding dress?
I have it. So I've got it. My plan is, let's see, maybe for my 15 or 20 to just completely go crazy and cut it up.
Yeah.
And reimagine it into something new.
That's great. That's great.
Then after that, I'll probably, you know, it can only do so much.
Yeah. I have a beautiful wedding dress that was in my parents' home for 25 years after my wedding. It was in my closet of my old bedroom. And we closed down my parents' house last year.
I remember, yeah.
And so I have it in my closet now. And my daughter has said, yeah, no, I don't think I would wear that one. So maybe I should do the same thing, do some kind of performance art with it or alter it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was fun. You know, it was like, it was fun for experience for the three of us, Katie and Brian and myself, you know, but also, you know, it was fun to paint my dress.
Yeah.
You know?
When you applied for the, retreat, did you have to come up with a project and propose that you're going to do this? And did they have guidelines that were you supposed to do something that also stayed there, added to?
Okay. So, yes on all that. So when you apply for the Hermitage, they want to see that you got, like, you're not just going to get there and be like, oh my God, what do I do? You got a plan, you know, which is, that was the easy part for me because, you know, I'm very regimented when I work and I was working on my monthly series. So I already knew I was going to be doing those pieces every day. So I did, you know, well, July 31, I did 31 pieces, you know, however many days I was at the Hermitage, I did a piece every day in that series.
Okay.
So I did that. And then I also worked on the quilt, so I was hand beading.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, you know, made some jewelry and I hand painted my wedding dress. But so, you know, I had a plan and that was fine.
Yeah.
But then they also, you know, they want you to be able to do some type of an interactive activity with the donor family that comes to visit on the second week, I think. So we actually did shibori dyeing and they loved it.
Oh, that's great.
So we just did everything. Like we helped them tie everything up and dip and they just really enjoyed it. They brought baby onesies for, you know, new family members and we just had a really good time on the back porch, you know, shibori dyeing all this stuff, you know, with the family.
Oh, that's nice.
And then part of the Hermitage thing, you know, their kind of deal is you leave something there, you leave a piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Seth left a painting. Katie did some beautiful little watercolors of, you know, views she'd seen at the beach. The writers left, you know, printouts of their writing that they'd found. And for me, I was doing these in my little studio space, the little, little building in front of the beach. When I came in the first day, I noticed that, there was like a standing photo. It's like a trifold. You ever seen those before?
Almost like a room divider?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was one of those and it was kind of beat up and it was missing some glass and, you know, it didn't have any photos in it. So I saw that when I first walked in and I said to myself, I was like, I'm going to do something with that.
Yeah.
So what I did, because, you know, I was making cutouts. So I think it had 12 slots in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I filled the 5x7, you know, windows in it with my cutout art. And then I did glass backing so that it, you know, you could see the light shine through it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And that's what I left. That's what I left for the Hermitage.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. And so that was just based on you walking in and seeing what can I do to add. That's great.
It worked out great. It really did work out great that, because if I would have been doing a different type of art that month, I could have still done that, but it wouldn't have gone as well with, you know, the light coming through from the other side and everything.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny how everything kind of connects, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So congratulations on getting that month. Had you applied to others before?
No, I'd actually applied to that one the year before, you know, and I didn't get it. And I was like, I'm going to try again. And they upped the requirements, you know, had a, you know, several letters of recommendation, mm-hmm. I think like five. And, but I was like, I'm going to try it again. So I, you know, I hadn't really applied for anything like that. So besides that specific one, this summer I'm taking a little bit of a break, like in my world, a break. I'm not doing any like, well, I may do like an AP training, but I didn't apply for like any major stuff, you know, maybe next summer.
Okay. Are you still doing the, is it a fashion week? You do it at the Armory Arts Center?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, I wanted to do two, but we have a wedding to go to. So, oh gosh, I've been teaching at the Armory since 2011, I think. I started off doing their summer camp. Karen Noble got me into doing, their summer camps years ago. And, you know, first I was doing, you know, the little kids and all the age groups, and then, I think there was like one summer that I didn't do it, maybe two, because we moved down, you know, to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And, I got back into it. And then I think is when Liza started working there, is they wanted to have like a fashion camp, and they knew that I'd done some projects in my camp classes. Now that I've started doing the fashion, I don't want to do anything else.
I bet.
I just love it. Yeah. So,
came to you and said, yeah, we were thinking of doing a fashion camp, would you be interested? And you said, would I ever?
Yeah, so I've done, you know, sometimes I've done 2 weeks of camp, sometimes it's just one. This summer it's just going to be one, but we focus on, or when I do it, I always focus on working with recycled materials. And part of it is because I want to keep costs down, you know, but then also, you know, you just want to teach the kids, like, you don't always have to go out and buy expensive materials. You can use the things around you and really have to, you know, be teaching that creative problem solving with, you know, like, I mean, the trash that's in the world's not going anywhere, you know?
Right, right. What is the age level of the kids?
They go, usually it's middle school, high school age. Okay.
And do you get boys and girls or just girls?
Yeah, we get boys and girls.
Good.
Usually it's more girls than boys, mm-hmm. but I think for the past couple summers, I've had at least one boy, you know, in the group.
Good.
You know, and it does just, you know, just as creative and into the project as the girls. Well, loves it. But when I teach the class, I like to focus on, we do some fashion sketching, you know, we do inspiration boards and, you know, color forecasting and, you know, kind of stuff that's like common in any kind of fashion, not just recycled fashion.
Right.
And then we do, you know, we make, you know, purses and statement necklaces, and we do a group project where we usually make a ball gown out of recycled materials.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, so they're constantly, my teaching, when I teach, I like to give them too much work.
Yeah.
But then I like to give them options. So, and I do that in regular classroom where I'm like, we're going to do this and this and this. And,
yeah.
But today you get to choose which of those many things you are going to work on today. As long as you get it all done, you can have some flexibility in what it is you're going to work on.
Well, that's nice. I think that it gives them more of a sense of ownership when they have the power to decide. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, sometimes you might not feel like working on, you know, the same thing as everybody else, but you know, like, and I, like I said, I do that in my classroom too, where, you know, we might have five things going on, but as long as you're working and you're working on one of those things or something that, you know, spin off project from one of those things, we're fine.
Yeah.
You know,
for the fashion camp, did you do some kind of a show at the end that the parents can come in and see?
We, at the end of, I think they do two shows at the Armory, and it's like an end of summer program show, you know, and what they like to do, because it's a ton of kids, you know, because it's not just my fashion kids, which, you know, might be anywhere from, you know, like 10 to 15 kids usually, but they have all the other campers too, you know.
That are going on at the same time. Okay.
So what they started doing is in past years they had like one group project, you know, so like for fashion, we usually do a ball gown or some type of garment out of recycled materials, and that represents like our whole class for a set.
Okay, so then that's the collaboration that they've all done. They've all worked on. Yeah.
Yeah. We've done some different stuff. Like one year, I had each of the campers make their own little tiny, like a garment out of paper, and we did little wire clothes hangers, and we hung it like in a frame that we had collaged with all these like fashion pictures. So, yeah, it's just fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I really look forward every summer. Like, I look forward to doing that week of fashion.
Yeah. Okay. So, in your high school teaching, are you able to find outside shows that the students can participate in? Do you do end of semester?
Oh, yeah.
Or what do you do for the high school kids?
Well, we have like the fair. Joyce over at Clay Glass Metal Stone Gallery always, you know, welcomes our kids. So whenever I can, I try to put stuff in her shows, because if they sell it, they make the money. So that's another perk. Yeah. And then, we just participated in the Congressional Art District show. Representative Frankel and her office selected actually one of Mr. Bloodworth, Brent Bloodworth's student, Cradling. She, was the winner for our district. And so a kid from Lake Worth, sweet girl from Lake Worth, is going to have work hanging in D.C. She's actually going to see it with her mom this summer.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And, you know, wow. the district always has, like, when you log in, there's, you know, like, news that comes up. And I always look at it because I scan it. And if I see anything that says art, I always, you know, just look, check it out. There's always a district, you know, like, greeting card contest or logo poster design.
Posters, yeah.
Yeah. And this year we just really did a good job. I have one rock star kid, Antonio. And he can crank out the work. He's super creative. And, anything that I throw at him, next day he come in, he's got 3 sketches the next day. Like, yeah. So he won, a bus poster safety contest, $1,000. The district greeting card. He and another kid, Miguel, just did first and third in a melanoma Monday. And, you know, it's just a chance for them to design something for a specific, you know, event or calls or whatever, so it's, you know, like a design problem,
right?
And then, you know, some of the things they get money from it, so that's always good. Kids,
that's great.
Yeah.
And you know, when it teaches them, it's another level of learning about responsibility and deadlines, following directions, all these things that you don't want to point out that they're learning these things, but they're learning it by going through the process.
And actually, too, my fashion club. And, you know, the kids, usually it's mostly my girls, but, the kids that are working on the fashion stuff in the past 2 years, we submitted, last year was the first time it was my first time ever submitting to Scholastic. And we got an honorable mention for this beautiful, newspaper gown. And then, this year, one of my girls did this cool, like she painted the newspaper and cut it into flowers and did a duct tape bodice and just made this cute little cocktail dress.
Oh, wow.
And that one, it won a gold key.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So she was really excited. So, you know, next year I'm hoping to crank up the fashion pieces even more and do more and, you know, compete more with our fashion pieces.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So let's talk about you now as an artist. I know you have a daily practice of making art. So tell us about that.
Okay. So, you know, I mentioned, you know, I did my master's and did all that stuff. And I think I just got to a point where I realized that I wasn't doing work, you know?
Okay.
Like I realized, like, if you met me or anybody met me, maybe the first, you might be like, oh yeah, Jenny's an art teacher, you know, but I knew that I didn't feel like people knew that, and me myself knew that I was an artist.
Okay.
You know, that's like what my life was about and my identifying, like that's who I am.
Right.
And I just felt like I was living, like I'm teaching art and doing all that stuff, but I'm not doing, you know, the one thing that I knew was me. So in 2012, I was kind of, or actually, let me back up. I did this Florida Humanities Council. And it's funny because you get inspiration and these ideas are coming from other places. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I think probably one of the things that got me the jump start to doing art every day was going to that Florida Humanities Council thing. You know, I did some paintings when I got back. It was about Zora Neale Hurston. I felt like super inspired. You know, this woman, she's living that life. She's doing what she's writing. And I felt that I met all these creative people. So I kind of had that. And then kind of back down for a second. I did do another professional development. And this one was through the Surface Design Association.
Mm-hmm.
And I was chosen as an SDA scholar. So that was 2011. So summer 2011, I went to Minneapolis for their Confluence, which is like their conference. And I took this workshop, Anna Carlson. And all of this stuff is all documented on like my blog. It's like a diary out there for everybody to see. And I, for myself, to remember like, when did that happen? You know, but, so I went to this thing and the workshop with Anna was about, you know, developing your work and making more work, like kind of planning and, you know, how are you going to do this? So the first thing we did was we kind of like try to pinpoint, like, what is our style? What do we like? And we brought in pictures and we did all this planning. And, just when I left, I felt more organized, mm-hmm. you know, like I felt like, you know, cause we talked about not just making one, but making multiple, you know, and you know, like a series, almost like they would in fashion. And so I kind of had that in the back of my head. So when I came back from Minneapolis, I said to myself, I was like, I had a big pad of 18 by 24 paper. And I was like, I'm going to make a tree every day this summer. And so I ran out of paper, like 30 trees. And so while I was there, I'd been looking at like Art Nouveau and, you know, Gustav Klimt, Alphonse Mucha's were my favorite people. So, and I loved their faces. So I did a series that summer where I did a tree, you know, and I don't remember if I did them. Yeah, I did them every day. Anyway, I did 30 trees, 18 by 24. And when I finished, I felt good. So I've been posting the whole time, letting, you know, other people know, like, you know, I'm doing these trees. And, you know, then, you know, kind of started school or whatever. But just in January 2012, I just made up my mind. I was like, I'm going to make a piece every day. I found a website, where other people were doing the same thing. It's called Creative Every Day. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. They would, you know, each month they had different, like, suggested prompts. You didn't have to do them if you didn't want to, but you could post what you're doing and kind of be interactive. And, I just got into the habit of making art every day. And for me, what I do is I'm real regimented and I really like order. So I have every month I have a different theme. So, you know, like this month, my theme is wedding dresses, and I'm doing fashion illustrations of wedding dresses. So, like, if you see a drawing of mine and you're like, oh, I like that, there are 27 to 30 more pieces just like it because I did it as part of a monthly theme.
Right. You know? Okay.
So I just started January 2012. I was just kind of like, when I look back on it, I can see where I got more structured, but that first series was shoes. So I just did a shoe every day. And by the end of the series, my love of drawing faces had already kind of started to show up because you started to see like detailed faces on shoes too.
Oh, yeah.
But I just kind of planned, if I know that I'm going on a certain trip, you know, like, one summer 2015, we went to go see Grateful Dead in, Chicago. And so the month before that, the whole month of June, I spent every day, I researched Grateful Dead songs that I liked, and I did kind of that 60s style, 70s movie, or, yeah, the poster with the cool writing, the tricky writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I would, use imagery from the songs in the work. I did a piece every day leading up to a Grateful Dead concert. And then when I went to the Grateful Dead concert, it's like I'd already been living the music, you know, all that time.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
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 So I try to tie it in with, you know, whatever's going on when I can, you know, in my life or, you know, it's like I'm real cheesy and I love seasons and stuff. So all the time when it's October, I love to do Inktober. I always do like Halloween, you know, fun monster type, you know, artwork.
That's fun. Yeah. And did you choose wedding dresses because the royal wedding was coming?
No. That's it kind of worked out. I can't remember why specifically. I think I like drawing on toned paper. I've done several series. I did a floral series in 2012. Last May, I did a great series. I really enjoyed it. It was called Mythical May. And that one, I studied Greek and Roman mythology. And my characters are always, or my drawings, female. It's primary, except for like a couple times. But, so I did research on all of them, and then I had this one kind of girl type character that I was doing on the toned paper. And I really liked how those drawings looked. I saw Susan did the fashion illustrations this month.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I've done, you know, DC Comics, I've done Disney, and I've revisit series sometimes. Like, I revisited my Disney series in December of 2017, and I did Disney Imagine That Fashion Illustrations.
Ah, okay.
That was fun. I actually showed that back home when I went home for Christmas. I did a fun Wonder Woman series. And I called
that's
it
great.
Like Wonderful Women. And I actually, I did some local people in that. So,
great.
People that I know, I featured them. Yeah. Like Raquel Williams and Finger in Palm Beach. I just love Ritchie Ryder of the Ritchie Report.
Oh, great.
But then I also did like Georgia O'Keefe mm-hmm. and, you know, Iris Apfel as Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But it's fun because I feel like every month is a clean slate. So I can just completely delve into a different thing, you know? Like, you know, I can completely delve into drawing. Like, the pieces that I have right now in that PB Cotta show, mm-hmm. that's at Glass Metal Stone Gallery, it's up through June 13th. So.
And that's the Palm Beach County Art Teachers Association.
Yeah.
We call PB Cotta.
Yeah, sorry. So that group of work that I'm showing is real special. Because it's a series I call Girl Talk. And I first did Girl Talk January 2016 or 2017. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But what I did is I just picked women that inspire me. You know, like, I did, like Maya Angelou, Iris Apfel again, because I adore her. Paolo, a lot of artists and, you know, Alanis Morissette. So, Janis Joplin. So I did a detailed portrait in pencil of those women.
Okay.
And then I either quoted their own words or song lyrics if they were a musician, and then her color background. So I did that series, you know, back in the day. And then this February, I was like, I want to do that series again, but I want to tie it in with Black History Month, you know?
Okay.
So when I started the series, my idea was that I was doing these influential women, but I was doing it them as their younger self. So, like, I did a picture of, like, Oprah Winfrey, but a younger Oprah, like, from one of her childhood photos.
Oh, okay.
You know, I did a picture of Michelle Obama, but younger, you know, Michelle Obama before she became who she is. Kind of the idea that they grew up to be these great women. Well, about halfway through the series, you know, it wasn't that I was uninspired, but it was hard to find pictures of some of the women I wanted to do, like, clear ones to work from. Like, I wanted to do Maxine Waters. I love Maxine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to find these pictures of some of the older people, and I was looking at one of my students, had this one like really amazing student, Rachel, and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick a, you know, some of my high school seniors, African American, that right now have all those qualities. They're going to make them the next Maya Angelou and
Oprah. That's great.
So, you know, I picked girls that I really had a close relationship with. I've known them since they were freshmen or just, you know, I've known for a while. And so I got permission forms, of course. And then I took photos. I did the portrait, and then I did the watercolor background. But I included their words. So they
nice.
Came up with a quote. And so I have 9 pictures of my high school senior girls that are on display, of course. But I also I used to coach cheer at Palm Beach Gardens High School, and we were just a real tight group. But I had 5 girls that I've really kept in contact from that time, and so I did 5 of their portraits, too.
Oh, great. Okay.
I know
you were seeking out a place where you could do a show and display them. So how did that work out?
It didn't work out exactly like I wanted. I showed the 5 pictures from the Palm Beach Gardens girls. I showed those in the armory in a Palm Beach or PB Cotta show. And then I'm showing these in another PB Cotta show, but separate. What I envisioned was showing all of the work together somewhere, but that didn't happen. So rather than just be like, oh, it's not going to happen, love, I just was like, okay, I'm showing them.
Yes.
They're not together, but you know, they're being shown and people, cause I wanted these particular girls up on a wall and celebrated. You know, like, you know, they're physically beautiful girls, but also like they're beautiful inside and have like a lot to offer.
And did they, were some of the girls able to come to the show and bring their families?
Yeah, well, some of them, but my Gardens girls are like college, you know, college age. So I got one that's in New Orleans now. Deja, I think, made it over to the show and they'll be getting their work. Like, I'm giving them their work this summer. They're all going to get it. So, but the Gardens girls, I think, are going to have to meet me for lunch to get their work.
There you go.
And then we just had the opening for the Lake Worth show. I don't think any of our girls made it. It was raining and everything last night, but the show's up till June 13th. So I just sent them a text. I was like, you know, send me a selfie when you go, you know, see your work. But they'll also, that show will come down after school's out. So I'll probably mail them their pieces.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So you're getting your artwork out. You're showing it at various venues around the area. Did you do a show in North Carolina last year?
Yeah. I've actually kind of started doing that. So I'm trying to think which was, okay. So 2015, November 2015, contacted, where we live in North Carolina, like my husband's family and my family, like live right, the counties are right beside each other. So I actually met my husband at his dad's restaurant. His whole family is in the restaurant business. His dad's retired now and he does wood shop. He's amazing, woodworker. So,
Nice.
Yeah. but we have a lot of friends that are in restaurant and bar business. So Con and Betty had asked, or I'd, you know, said like, hey, I'm thinking about, I'd like to have an art show. You know, could I have an art show like at your place? So they said yes. So I did my first show there and I showed my November Blue series.
Mm-hmm.
So November Blue was every day that month, I picked a song that had a blue reference.
Oh, okay.
And I did a 12 by 12 monochromatic blue painting that kind of made either how it made me feel or some like actual thing in the song depicted.
Oh, nice.
So yes, I showed those and I mean, I sold probably like over half the series. It was my first time doing a show back home because I do all this stuff here in Florida. My mom and my sister and my best friend's family and John's family, everybody's back in North Carolina. So I feel like I'm doing all this stuff here and I want my mom to come and see my work.
Yeah. So absolutely.
Yeah, my nieces and nephews. So it was great. So they could come and work. And then the next year I did a series about, you know, thinking like holidays, like you want a cute red dress. You know, at Christmas time, you want a red dress to wear. So I did a series called Red Dress. And for that one, I designed the dresses myself, like what they would look like, but I drew them on a dress form.
Okay.
They're not like on a person or anything, but they're just kind of, just different dresses on the dress form. So I did one of those every day and I took those down and, showed those and those sold. And then this past year, I'd been doing the Disney art, the Disney fashion illustrations. So I showed those. And again, it's like just having contact with people. My high school friend, Christy, she, kind of runs like the events and stuff over at Homewood Suites in Pinehurst. And we stayed there. She let us stay there. We're related a little bit. So like family, but she, you know, we stayed there and we had an event and, you know, it was great. They give the event space upstairs and, you know, had some people come through. It's like kind of like in a ballroom type, you know, where they do like their social events.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a great space for showing it and just tons of people came through and, you know, the hotel was able to make some sales off, you know, if they have a bar downstairs. So it worked out good for everybody.
Right.
You know,
for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to see people. It's kind of like just a big reunion.
That's great. You know? Yeah. Well, that was nice. And then in, I guess it was Broward County, you did a show all about your art a day.
That was 20, us all running together. Was that 2016? Whatever the 5-year mark was. So,
yeah. So at that point you had done 5 years of an art piece a day.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
It gets, and I do more than that because I just, I just do the daily art, but then sometimes what happens is I'm like, oh, I want to do this, and so I'll do 10 more of something else.
Mm-hmm.
Fashion illustration is another side passion of mine, and so I've got a couple hundred of those, but not even, that's just additional, you know?
Right.
So, but I do have the daily art, but then there's a lot more outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I worked down south, at a school for just a year before we moved up, and I really made, good friends with this guy named Daniel. And Daniel ended up leaving the school and going to work for the city of Hollywood, running their, like, you know, kind of event center down there, and the gallery space and the concerts and all that. So, he contacted me and he's like, hey, Jen, he's like, I'm the person that is going to be in charge of, like, booking this stuff. He's like, and like, I can book whoever I want. He's like, I want to book you. And I was like, oh. I go down there. Look, it's in Sunrise. It's a big, beautiful gallery.
It really was a beautiful space.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, I can't believe I get to show it, and it's all going to be my work.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what I did for that, is I, and all of this stuff is, like, you can find all the stuff in the blog. It's like a rabbit hole. So, you know, I was down there and I had 5 years worth of work. So what I did is that 60 months. So I picked one piece from every one of the months.
Okay. So it represented one from each theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you were there that night. I think the piece that you bought was, I think, December 2012. Because it was a woman and she had, like, the watercolor in her hair. Yeah, that's one of my kind of Christmas themed pieces, but indirectly, because I think it was later in the month of December. But yes, I just did one piece from each month, and then I also had a projector going that showed all the work, you know, played to show all of the work, not just the 60 pieces in the show.
Yeah, that was amazing, just to have that running slideshow going. And by the way, the piece that I bought that night, I get the most compliments on it when people come into my home.
Thank you. It was a great show. My friends and family came out, you know, and one of the best things was this little lady, older lady there, and she was looking at a piece, and she was looking all around. I kept seeing her, like, really looking at my work, and I went up to her, and I was like, I really like it, you know, and she's like, I've never seen anything like this before, you know, and just the way that she said it, I was like, I think that's a good thing, yay!
Yeah.
So that was really, really good. And I'm hoping to do a 10-year, retrospective. I'm looking at a couple places already, like, for that. It's a shock. But, I'd really like to do, just a show of just my fashion focused pieces. So that's something else, like, I'm kind of planning. But, you know, after doing my first 5 years of doing the art every day, like, I kind of learned, like, I think it works best if I stick with the flatter pieces in a certain size. So I kind of work, like, a little bit more streamlined now, but for the first 5 years, I mean, like, there was one month that I did these cool little mixed media blocks that
I remember that in the show.
Yeah, they were angels, and but they had kind of like a Valentine's Day theme, so it was during February, and you know, I did, like, these cool little beaded tops, and they had little beads on the bottom, and they were mixed media and painted and collaged, but I love them, but storing them is not as easy as storing, you know, my drawings, you know,
right.
And there's been months like April 2014, I think.
Mm-hmm.
First 5 years, I was just like, and I did kind of whatever. Now I'm more streamlined about it, but April 2014, April Poetry Month, right? I did, 16 by 20 or something like that. I did an acrylic painting every day.
Oh boy.
And
that's not a tiny piece. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's fun. It was really fun while I was doing it. It was really fun. But not fun is trying to find a place to store, you know, 30 canvases.
Right.
And so I've stopped doing as many. I do enjoy doing a painting on canvas, but I stopped doing those as, like, monthly things just for storage reasons, you know. And I mean, I sell stuff, you know, but I don't actively post my pieces like, this is how much it is, you know. Like, I'm more worried about just making the work, you know. But, so yeah, so now I kind of stick to 8x10, 5x7, you know, 7x16. And I can still do the other stuff, but just maybe not as my daily.
Yeah.
Because right now I have, my work is all organized in plastic bins by year, and then each year I made a folder for the month, and they're in chronological order. Right now, if I stack those up, they're taller than me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Yeah, so when I use the word prolific to describe you, it's a new level of prolific.
Well, it's funny because my husband is nice enough to let me store my work in his office. Oh, and okay. I've measured it out. I got about 2 more years in that office. We're going to need to move somewhere else where we have a bigger something for to put them.
You know? Right, right. You need to choose your next house based on the art production level.
Like archive. But now that I've gone to, you know, making sure in the past, you know, that I just work on paper or something that's a flatter material, it makes it easier, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of art. It's like, I think I calculated it for when Brent and I had our show at Clay Glass Metal week before last, mm-hmm. I did like artist write up and it was like 2362, I think at that point, days in a row of making art.
Yeah.
And whenever I do math, I hope my high school teacher never hears this, but I always double and triple check it because I'm so bad at math. I'm always like, I don't believe that I did it right. And I do it like 5 times, you know.
When you get above 2000, you think, that can't be right. Have I really done over 2000?
Yeah, because it was, I think 2 of the years were leap years. But it's a lot of work. And I kind of, you know, kind of think about that like 10,000 hour rule, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, one of these days I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to keep on making it.
Yeah.
Keep on working until I get it figured out, you know, or until I run out of space.
Yeah, right, you know? Right. No, you'll just come up with something else. You know, it's like anybody who collects something, you know, I don't know what, but the spouse will always say, okay, well, you can have this cabinet to put it in. And when you feel that, you're done. And then amazingly, another cabinet shows up or you get a bigger one. And
and that's, you know, the one thing that's been constant, you know, my husband and I have been, we met we actually met when we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we just had our 12 year anniversary, but we've been together 20 years.
Yeah.
But he's always been super supportive of my art and, you know, space. Like when I first started in 2012, and then this is, you know, I think, and I've done a couple workshops and I've written about it in my blog and stuff, but, mm-hmm. you know, I think people want to do more, but there's all these roadblocks. And one of the roadblocks that people will say is, you know, space, you know, is a thing. Yes. Like, I don't have space. So when I first started, I claimed this little corner of the kitchen and I put a table in front of this window and that was my little space. And then, you know, the next year, there was an easel in there too.
Yeah.
So he's been very supportive of me, like physically claiming, you know, space that I need to create. And, you know, if I have a mess for a little bit, but I'm usually pretty organized, but, you know, coming to my shows and helping me, giving me ideas, you know, like I'll come to him and be like, do you like this idea better? Do you like this? And he was amazing whenever I did my retrospective show. Because he was helping me pick all those pieces, and he knows the story behind every single piece. So
that's a great partnership.
Yeah.
Was it he who was putting together the slideshow? That was a huge job.
And he did the music for the show. Like, he just burnt some CDs because I guess we were a little old school at the time. I don't know. You know, or we were worried about like an internet connection or something. But yeah, so he made this like killer, like, playlist for the show of all the music that we love, you know. But so that's been helpful, is, you know, like being able to claim a creative space, having a partner, you know.
Right. It's fun to work with somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, like, you know, especially since I've moved to Florida, I've really sought out creative people, you know, that I can learn from, that are my friends, and that's helped me a lot. You know, I met, when I first worked that summer in the Armory in 2011, that's when I met Jessie Prue, who does, she later went on to do Art Hive Magazine with Angela, and so that definitely like helped propel my creativity and my inspiration. And now I do, contributor for them. I do the social media. But yeah, it's just been, you know, you gotta work with what you got, and wherever you drop off, you gotta hit the ground running.
Yeah. And you should seek out people and be a part of the community. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was in college, and people say stuff to you and it might not mean anything to you, or you have an experience and it doesn't connect until later. Like, you know, me, you know, going to the Zora Neale Hurston thing, and then connects to you later, and, you know, Minneapolis, everything connects.
Yes.
But, I remember my professor, Ray Elmore, saying to us in one of the critiques where we're all getting just like, we're just really getting it handed to us. Like we had, you know, you put up your wall and you're like, oh my God, don't pick mine to talk about. he was asking us like, who are your art heroes? What are your inspirations? Like, what artists are you looking at? What shows are you looking at? And he said, he's like, you can't create inside a vacuum.
Right. You can't be the lonely artist sitting at home by yourself just producing.
I mean, you can, but like, I think you could be happier, you know, if you're connecting with other people. And, you know, it's funny. The creating art, everything, like, okay, so when I first started out, I told you my goal was like, I want to know, and I want people to know, like, this is who I am.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's funny because after my first year of doing it, I went, you know, Florida Art Education Association, right? So I went to their conference after I'd been doing the art for a year. And I remember I was in a workshop with Dr. Chang out of FIU. Amazing. And it was about making more art and being in touch with being an artist, educator. And all the people in Palm Beach County that I knew, they knew that I'd been making this art every day at that time for a year. And he said to the group, he said, you know, like, raise your hand if you consider yourself an artist. And I was sitting there. And my friend.
You didn't raise your hand?
No, my friends are looking at me and they're like, what are you doing? You know? And but at that time I still didn't register with myself, you know? So now as the years have gone by, like, this is who I am. Everybody knows, but I don't care if everybody knows. Like, I know, you know?
Yes.
But now my goal, with my artwork is like, regardless of what everybody else is doing, I'm going to do this. This is what I do. But now my goal is to bring other people, you know, that are like, you know, like, I want to do more, you know, that I want to be more, but, you know, I want to make more, but, you know, like the, but, you know,
right.
I want to
qualifier.
I want to, like, you know, help inspire other people that want to make more work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like my larger goal now.
I love it. That's great. Okay. So why don't we wrap it up now? Tell me where you've referred to your blog. So tell me where people can find and see your history of all your art.
Oh,
making.
God. Okay. So make sure you got on comfortable clothes and enough food for a week. So my blog, everything's located on JenniferLoveGeronda.com is my website.
Okay.
And started that, I guess, 2010 or, no, I think I started that in 2009. I can't remember.
Okay. I'm just going to repeat that because you're okay. Jenny, but your official art name is Jennifer Love Geronda, your full name. Mm-hmm.
And so it's JenniferLoveGeronda.com. And on there, I have a gallery that you can trace it back all the way to 2012 and look month by month at everything I've made and additional stuff. There's a blog that goes, I think I started in June 2011, I think. I can't remember. But it goes back from the very beginning.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's deep. Like, because when I first started, I was blogging almost every day. Now, with Instagram, which my Instagram name is at Arten with the Muse, Arten W_the Muse.
Write it all out in the show notes so people can see it.
That's also my Art Hive email. But anyway, since Instagram, since I've started being more active on Instagram, because I'm posting so much on there, like I cut the blogs down to maybe like 3 or 4 times a month.
Okay.
And it's kind of, usually I'll get in there and I'll, at the beginning of a series, I'll give like a series intro, you know, talk about like what's going on. And then about the middle of the month and then the end of the month, I do a wrap up. And, I, you know, if I have shows and stuff, I'll post that information. And then also on my website, I have a separate page that's just related to my classroom, you know, that I use that as a teaching. I use it to show like what my kids are doing, but then also like if my kids are somewhere and they can't get to their district site, they can pull up mine and look at their sketch assignments.
Oh, that's a great idea. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I have a Facebook page, and it's just Jennifer Lovenda Art.
Okay. But, yeah. Right. I'll put all that on the show notes. So this has been fun. Thank you so much. Yeah, I can tell that you've really made a conscious effort to grow as an artist, and I love that you wanted the world to know that you're an artist, and you made an effort for that to happen. That's wonderful.
I'm still working on it, so.
Well, that's good. It's always an ongoing project. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Oh my gosh. I hope you remember that number that Jennifer mentioned earlier, that she has produced a piece of artwork every day for over 2,000 days. 2,000 and climbing, because she's still doing it. Please go to her website, go to her Instagram and see what she's done. On her website, you can look under her blog and she's got an archive by month. You can go back and look at specific months. But I want to talk about some of the takeaways. What can we learn from what Jenny does for her art? Number one, when you move to a new city, take some time to check out the local art galleries, the organizations, and the public art. Really try to become a part of your community. That's what she did when she started her new job at Lake Worth High School. Her fellow art teacher took her around to see things. Number two, search for and apply for artist retreats or residencies to expand your artistic experiences. She went to the Hermitage Artist Retreat in Florida and accomplished so much, did so many different projects just in a one-month time period. Number three, work to develop your style as an artist by creating one piece of artwork a day. You don't have to do it for 2,000 days like she has. Try it maybe for 30 days or even just a week. And the other thing you can do is make a series of artwork based on a theme. This will improve your techniques and challenge you creatively. If your goal is to maybe make an artist book, one a day for 30 days, by 30 days, you're going to be pretty darn good at the artist books, and you will have tried different things that you may not have thought of at the beginning of the month. And lastly, don't be afraid to publicly declare and proudly declare that you are an artist. I hope you enjoyed my talk with Jennifer Love Gironda. She is very prolific and so interesting. Please look at her website. And thank you for listening to The Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Redman. Have a good day.